Welcome to the third hour of Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat for this Friday, October 30th of 2020. I'm Darren Pritchett. Sean Stiers rejoins the program in a moment. He's going to offer some insight on this year's Notre Dame women's basketball team with the help of Notre Dame women's basketball coach Neil Ivey, who took some media questions earlier this week. And of course, Sean is the new voice of Notre Dame women's basketball, which you can hear right here on Sports Radio 96.1 WSBT. Vince is on his way to Goshen High School. He'll be a part of the Mishawaka Goshen preview coming up in about 25 minutes. So after 2 hours of Notre Dame football talk, we're going to talk about some different things over the next 40 minutes, including Fighting Irish hockey. Fingers crossed, Notre Dame hockey will play their first game on November 13th. Again, there is no schedule as of right now in the Big Ten. That is a process that continues to unfold. But the hope is Notre Dame will open up their season on November the 13th. On Wednesday night, I was a part of a season ticket holder webinar featuring Notre Dame hockey coach Jeff Jackson.
Well, Darren, and I hope everybody on the call is doing well and healthy and safe, and these crazy times that we're living in, it's just a matter of everybody trying to keep a positive attitude through this whole process, and that's what we've been trying to do as a program.
Let's begin with just what things have been like right now preparing for a brand new hockey season. It's almost November. Fingers crossed we're going to have hockey soon. Has practice been anything close to normal as you deal with things during this pandemic?
It has been more recently, over the last 3 weeks, we've been doing more team stuff for several weeks. After school started, we were pretty much broken down into three different groups of players, both from a training perspective and practice perspective. Guys are not in the locker room. They're on the visitor side, spread out amongst five locker rooms for distancing and wearing masks in the locker room. And for coaches wearing masks on the ice, it's just it's been an interesting challenge and certainly one of the more challenging environments that I've ever been in, because I've never coached not being able to communicate as well with players, because in today's game, you know, your communication ability is probably one of the most important, and it's been kind of impeded with masks and distancing, and, you know, Zoom meetings don't quite cut it. We've kind of weaned ourselves from the Zoom meetings, and now pretty much we're able to meet with the team, and, you know, in a spread out situation. We have a new rink diagram board that's like 6 feet tall, so they can be, you know, separated on the ice. And the kids have been, you know, the guys have been really good. I mean, I credit them for, you know, first of all, getting through this extended training camp, because it's not hard when you're practicing. I mean, we're closing in on 3 months since school started, and our normal training camp is approximately 6 weeks long from the start of school to the start of the hockey season, which is usually early October. You know, now we're looking at mid-November, and it's hard. We've tried to keep them engaged. We've tried to make it fun. We really have just started to get into tactical play here over the last week, knowing that, you know, we had an official start date, so we had a little bit of a incentive to practice for, so we started getting into more tactical stuff. And but I, like I said, I give the young guys a lot of credit. They've handled it very well, attitudinally. I'm sure they're frustrated, and probably more so, you know, I'm disappointed a little bit for especially our seniors missing out on the opportunity to be a true senior. You know, like in normal years, September is like a big month for the guys for football games and having their own tailgates and, you know, being able to go to football games and then be with their teammates, you know, at different outings and events. And, you know, it's all been limited because the groups have been held smaller, even in the social environment. And, you know, I feel bad for some of the older guys, but as I said, I'm really proud of what they've done so far. They've been very positive, and they've been working hard, and they've had a good approach.
Norma Sheldon is an 8-year season ticket holder. She wants to know about some expectations for the freshman class. And let me just set up the question by saying, if you're an Irish hockey fan, there's some familiar last names, another Slagard, another Bjork. And for NHL fans, there's a Ralston. Brian Rolston, a great NHL player who you had at Lake Superior State. And I do need to mention it's the first time now you've coached a father and a son. So eventually that was bound to happen, right?
Yeah, and I keep saying when I get to grandkids, I'm done. It is the first time I've had a former player's son play for me, and that's a real tribute. I think we had four freshmen, recruited freshmen coming in, and then Brady Bjork, Anders' brother, obviously has a strong name with his parents, and obviously Anders being a great player for us here. So Brady actually made the team as a walk-on. And, you know, we gave him that opportunity. We recruited him as a walk-on, but he had to make the team. And he was notified the week prior to announcing captains. I told him that, you know, he did a good enough job to be able to stick around. And our roster size is a little bigger this year. We actually have a fourth goaltender that practices with us occasionally. We have, you know, Brady gives us 16 forwards. Generally, I like carrying 15. And we have 9 defensemen. Generally, we only carry 8. But I'm trying to somewhat prepare for what might be coming. And, and we also were very diligent in how we placed guys in apartments and houses to where I didn't have, you know, 2 goaltenders living in the same house. So, you know, trying to prepare for potential things that could come up, you know, due to COVID. But, to answer your question, I think, the freshman class, Ryder's very similar to his dad. He likes to shoot the puck. He's a great skater. Still needs to learn the game without the puck, and I think that's part of the reason why his dad sent him here. He ended up getting drafted, I think, in the 5th round by Colorado. I guess we're their farm team now. But Landon Slaggart, obviously, that's another name that's close to Notre Dame history. And, you know, Landon, I remember when he was a little guy running around. It's hard to believe that he's currently a freshman. I remember when he was, about 6-7 years old when I first started here, and I nicknamed him Lando the Commando. And I think that I did that knowing that he was going to be a very intense young man just by the type of kid he was. I had a nickname for all the Slagger kids, but Landon was, when he was young, I recognized the – he had a little fire in his eyes, and I could tell he was going to be a handful, not just as a kid, but as a hockey player. And he is. I mean, he's a tenacious, hardworking kid. We also have, and to be honest, we have another legacy because Grant Silanoff is the nephew of Ryan Thang. So there's another connection there with his freshman class. And, Grant is a very intelligent hockey player, played at Shattuck St. Mary's in Minnesota, and then he went on to play in Cedar Rapids in the USHL, had a good career in Cedar Rapids for a couple of years. And I think he's going to end up being a very good college hockey player. He's a very smart player. He's got some offensive tools. You know, I think there's things that he still has to improve on in his game, just like everyone. But, in the fourth or the fifth freshman, Zach Plasinski, freshman defenseman, he was actually a late recruit. We recruited him last fall, and that's late in today's world. But a young guy that, that's got a lot of potential and has some similarities to Dennis Gilbert. He's right-handed, though. Dennis was a lefty, but he has some similarities to Dennis Gilbert in the way he plays the game. He's a big, rangy kid. I think he'll end up being probably a little bit more of a defensive-type defenseman, but he's got some offensive tools. But he's a work in progress. He's from Alaska originally. He's a true outdoorsman. He likes hunting and fishing like I do, or at least the fishing part of it. We talk a lot of salmon fishing from my times going up to Alaska fishing. But Zach is a great kid. I think he's got a bright future. He's got a lot of potential. He's going to go through some freshman mistakes like all of them will. But they're going to all probably, I think, all play, maybe with the exception of Brady right away. I think the other 4 freshmen are likely to play right away. So they'll contribute. And the positive thing is, I guess, is that, we do return a lot of guys that played a lot of minutes last year. We lost some great seniors, but, we got a lot of guys that are, biting at the bit to replace those guys. Right now, at least through training camp, I mean, Nate Klerman's looked like a man here in the last few weeks. I think Jake Pavanka's had an extremely good camp. Jesse Bolleray started a little slow. I think part of that was because of the circumstances of what he had available to train all summer, which was, it affected a lot of our guys because they didn't have access to training. Some of them had gyms at home. Some of them had equipment at home. Some of them had to buy equipment. But, you know, we lost a really good summer of training. And that's the true advantage of us being back for this last couple months, is that we, at least Coach Walensky's been able to, you know, get them back into a, you know, reasonable strength phase. And we just finished it, actually. And now they're going to get kind of get more into a maintenance phase when we start playing. But I like our group. I think that, you know, the one thing that's hurt us over the last several years is losing underclassmen, because we lost a lot of skill over the last several years. I mean, we lost guys like it started with Hinnis Drosen, obviously Anders Bjork, losing him early, losing Andrew Ogilvie early, you know, and then losing some seniors like Jake Evans and other guys that, you know, that were good contributors offensively. We haven't had the ability to really replace that skill set at the same level that we lost. And it's to no fault of anyone's except for the whole process. And it all started way back in Ian Cole's junior year when he signed professionally, as did Teddy Ruth that year. I think we lost three guys as juniors that year. And it was already a big freshman class or senior class that year. I believe we had 8 or 9 seniors that year. So losing those underclassmen that year really put us in a situation where we're really overloaded with two classes and really underloaded with two classes. Like last year's class, we had 5 seniors. This year's class, we have 5 seniors. And then our junior class, there's 9. And we've tried to change it. We've tried to, every time we think we're making progress at getting the classes balanced out, the NHL comes along and screws us up.
Some of the comments of Fighting Irish hockey coach Jeff Jackson. I joined him for a webinar with season ticket holders earlier this week. The hope is Notre Dame will play their first game November 13th. No schedule released by the Big Ten as of yet, as they try to figure out how we're going to make this work.